Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Bride of Frankenstein, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Stitched Together. The mirror was my canvas, my reflection a masterpiece of deception. I studied the woman staring back at me, tilting my head, watching how the shadows danced across my newly sculpted features. The swelling had gone down, and the stitches along my jaw were healing into near-invisible lines. A week ago, this face was different. Softer. Less defined. Forgettable. But now? Now it was sharper, striking, an exact replica of the woman I was replacing. I ran a finger over my new lips, fuller and shaped to mimic the mistress in the grainy surveillance photos my latest client had provided. The cheekbones had been lifted, the nose slightly refined, the eyebrows arched just enough to exude the kind of sultry confidence that drew men like moths to a flame. The platinum blonde hair was the finishing touch, cascading in loose waves, dyed and styled to perfection. I had become her. This wasn't my first transformation, and it wouldn't be my last. I had mastered the art of reconstructing my face, shifting my appearance to match the women who ruined marriages. It was my specialty, my business. Wealthy wives came to me with suspicions, desperate to confirm what they already knew in their hearts. They didn't just want proof, they wanted vengeance. And I gave it to them. But I never just confirmed an affair. That was amateur work. Any private investigator could snap photos of a cheating bastard sneaking into a hotel room with a woman who wasn't his wife. I was different. I became her, the mistress, the temptress, the other woman. With precision and patience, I sculpted myself into the perfect decoy. The husbands never questioned it. Their brains filled in the gaps, and I fed them just enough familiar details to make them believe their dirty little secret had come crawling right into their arms. I played the part flawlessly, leading them to believe I was there for more. Another rendezvous, another whispered promise of pleasure. I let them fall into the trap, lured them into the dimly lit hotel rooms where cameras had already been planted, let their lips touch mine just long enough to capture their betrayal on film. Then the real fun began. The wives got their evidence. They wept. They raged. They filed for divorce. And I took my cut. Because beyond the affair, beyond the betrayal, there was one undeniable truth about cheating men. They were easy to blackmail. I had made a fortune off their desperation. It was almost too easy. Until now. This case should have been like any other. A wealthy woman, Victoria Greaves, had come to me with that all-too-familiar look, anger simmering beneath expensive makeup, diamonds glinting on her fingers as she clenched her hands into fists. Her husband, Jonathan Greaves, was cheating. She didn't have proof, but she knew. She had seen the signs. Late nights at the office. Unexplained expenses. A sudden commitment to the gym despite never having cared for fitness before. It was a textbook case. She handed me a folder, her perfectly manicured nails tapping against the table. Her name is Candace Monroe. I flipped through the pages. The photos were what I expected, candid shots of a woman too perfect to be natural. Full lips, high cheekbones, surgically enhanced curves. She was young, barely past 25, with the kind of beauty that made men weak. Victoria's disgust was palpable as she spoke. "He spends money on her," she hissed. "Gifts. Dinners. Hotels. But he doesn't think I know." She exhaled sharply, her eyes locking onto mine. "I want you to ruin him." I leaned back in my chair, considering. "Define ruin." She smiled, and it sent a chill down my spine. "Make him suffer." I had heard that before. The wives always wanted revenge, but Victoria's tone held something darker, something I couldn't quite place. Still, it wasn't my job to care. She had the money. I had the skills. "I need 2 weeks," I told her. "Surgeries take time to heal." "Do what you need to," she said, sliding an envelope across the table. "Just make sure he never looks at another woman again." I took the envelope without another word. That night I studied Candace Monroe. Every detail. Every movement. Every mannerism. The way she tilted her head when she laughed, the way her lips pursed in thought, the way she leaned in just enough when speaking to a man to make him feel like the only person in the world. Then I went under the knife. Pain was nothing new to me. I had done this so many times that the burning of fresh stitches and the ache of reshaped bone were almost comforting. The real pain came later. The bruising, the waiting, the delicate balancing act of hiding while the transformation settled. Days passed in a blur of painkillers and bandages. Swelling turned to definition. I stared at my reflection as my old face faded, replaced by something entirely new. By the end of the second week, Candace Monroe stared back at me. The time had come. I slipped into my role like a second skin, donning the dress Victoria had provided, one of Candace's favorites, supposedly. I walked into his bar, the one he frequented, the one where he had met his mistress time and time again. Jonathan Greaves was already there, nursing a drink. He was handsome in that distinguished, powerful way, sharp suit, graying at the temples, the kind of man who had money and knew how to wield it. He noticed me the second I stepped in. His eyes flickered with recognition, his grip tightening around his glass. A flicker of confusion. Then realization. His lips parted slightly as he took me in, drinking in every detail, trying to reconcile the woman in front of him with the one he thought he knew. I let the silence stretch. Let the anticipation build. Then I smiled. Surprised. I purred, tilting my head just so. His breath hitched. "Hi, Candace." I slid onto the stool beside him, crossing my legs slowly, deliberately. I could see the questions forming behind his eyes, the doubt creeping in. But doubt was no match for desire. He wouldn't question what he wanted to be true. I leaned in, brushing my fingers along his wrist. "Didn't expect to see me here?" His hesitation lasted only a moment before his hand slid onto my thigh. "I was just thinking about you." Of course he was. He was mine now. I had him exactly where I wanted him. Or so I thought. Chapter 2, Becoming Her. I had always been good at wearing masks, but this time was different. This time the mask wasn't metaphorical. It was carved into my skin, stitched along my jawline, sculpted into the curves of my cheekbones. This time I wasn't just pretending, I was becoming. The soreness in my face had dulled into a lingering ache, a constant reminder that the transformation was still fresh. But the swelling had faded enough for me to step into the world as Candace Monroe. Candace. The woman I was replacing. The woman Victoria Greaves wanted me to destroy. I stared at myself in the mirror, my fingers ghosting over my lips, plump and perfect, exactly like hers. The thought sent a strange ripple through me. There was something unsettling about stepping into another woman's skin, knowing I would be kissed, touched, taken under false pretenses. It was one thing to manipulate men with whispers and well-placed smiles. But this was something deeper, more twisted. But I had been paid well, and that meant there was no room for hesitation. The night air was thick with the scent of expensive cigars and whiskey-soaked greed. The bar was exactly what I expected, dimly lit, filled with men who had more money than morals. Jonathan Greaves was already there, a glass of bourbon cradled in his hand as he surveyed the room like a king looking over his kingdom. His suit was crisp, his tie loosened just enough to suggest he had been drinking long enough to forget about responsibility, but not long enough to lose control. I took a breath, exhaling slowly, steadying myself. Then I moved. Candace Monroe wasn't the type of woman to hesitate. She was confident, alluring. She knew her power and wielded it without shame. I slid onto the barstool beside him, crossing my legs slowly, deliberately. His eyes found mine instantly. Confusion flickered across his face, his grip tightening around his glass. He knew something was off, but he didn't want to believe it. "Didn't expect to see me here," I murmured, letting my lips curve into a slow smile. His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed hard. "Hi, Candace." I tilted my head, letting my hair fall over one shoulder. "Who else would I be?" He was staring, searching, studying. My skin prickled. He was noticing the details, picking up on the nuances. My heart pounded against my ribs, but I kept my expression smooth, unreadable. For a moment, I thought he would call my bluff. Then he reached for my hand. "You look," he trailed off, his thumb brushing against my palm. "Different. A test." I leaned in, just enough for him to catch my perfume, Candace's signature scent, one I had drenched myself in before arriving. "Do you like it?" Something in his eyes darkened. "Yes. Hook. Line. Sinker." The hotel room smelled of bourbon and lust. Jonathan pressed me against the door before I could fully process the moment, his breath hot against my neck. "Jesus," he murmured. "You're," he pulled back, his fingers brushing along my jawline. "I don't know. Different." That word again. I forced a soft laugh, catching his wrist before he could touch too much, feel too much. Maybe you just haven't really seen me before, I whispered, trailing my fingers down his chest. It worked. His hesitation melted into hunger. His lips found mine, and I let him take what he wanted. His hands roamed, his touch possessive, needy. I let my body respond just enough to keep him believing. He tasted like wealth, like whiskey and power, and a lifetime of getting exactly what he wanted. He had no idea that he was about to lose it all. I waited until he was asleep. The cameras had captured everything. His hands on my hips, his mouth on my skin, the way he whispered Candace like a prayer. Perfect. Victoria would have all the proof she needed. I pulled away from his sleeping form, slipping out of bed as silently as a ghost. My heart was still racing, my body humming with the leftover adrenaline of playing the part so perfectly. I reached for my phone, ready to send the footage to Victoria. But before I could press send, the screen lit up with a message. From Victoria. Come to my house. Urgent. My stomach twisted. Something wasn't right. Chapter 3, The Unraveling. Victoria's mansion loomed in the darkness, a fortress of glass and steel perched high above the city. From the outside, it was the picture of perfection, immaculate landscaping, towering columns, and a driveway paved with the kind of money that made problems disappear. But something about it felt wrong tonight. The message she had sent me still burned on my screen. Come to my house. Urgent. There was no explanation. No follow-up. Just those two words. I stepped out of my car, my heels clicking against the polished stone path leading to the entrance. The house was silent, the kind of eerie quiet that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. I rang the doorbell. Seconds stretched into an eternity before the door opened. Victoria stood there, barefoot in a silk robe, a glass of wine dangling from her fingers. Her hair was perfect, as always, cascading over one shoulder in effortless waves. But her eyes were different. There was something cold lurking behind them, something unreadable. You're late, she murmured, stepping aside. I hesitated before walking in. The house was dimly lit, the only illumination coming from the floor-to-ceiling windows that framed the skyline. Shadows stretched across the marble floors, turning the space into something ghostly. I turned to face her. What's going on? She swirled her wine lazily, taking a slow sip before answering. I saw the footage. I nodded. Good. You got what you wanted. She let out a soft, amused laugh. Did I? Something about her tone made my stomach twist. She set her wine down and walked toward me, her bare feet silent against the cold marble. You were supposed to seduce him, expose him, ruin him. Her voice was almost lazy, but there was a razor-sharp edge to it. But that's not what happened, is it? My pulse quickened. What are you talking about? Victoria reached into her robe and pulled out her phone. She tapped the screen, then turned it toward me. The video started playing. I watched myself on the screen, Candace Monroe, seducing Jonathan Greaves in that dimly lit hotel room. His hands on my body, his lips tracing my skin, his whispered words. But the video didn't stop where I thought it would. It kept going. And then I heard it. You're different. Better. Stay this way. Jonathan's voice. I felt my stomach drop. Victoria clicked her tongue, shaking her head. He didn't just fuck you. He fell for you. I opened my mouth to respond, but no words came out. She took a slow step forward. Do you know how humiliating that is? To watch your husband not only cheat, but to actually love the woman he's cheating with. I didn't respond. There was nothing I could say. Victoria smiled. It was small, sharp, and completely void of warmth. Then she turned the phone screen toward me again. A second video. This one wasn't from my hidden camera. It was from hers. It showed me, lying beside Jonathan after everything was over, his hand tracing my jaw, his lips murmuring those dangerous words against my skin. The angle was perfect. The lighting was clear. And the message was undeniable. This wasn't a one-time betrayal. This was something else entirely. Victoria's voice was soft when she spoke again. Almost gentle. He wants you, darling. Not her. Not me. You. The glass of wine in her hand tilted slightly, crimson liquid swirling. And now, she whispered, I have a new proposition for you. Chapter 4, A New Proposition. Victoria circled me like a predator sizing up its prey. The sharp click of her nails against the wine glass punctuated the silence between us. The video she had shown me still played in my mind on an endless loop. Jonathan's voice murmuring in my ear, his fingers trailing over my skin, his words dripping with something far more dangerous than lust. You're different. Better. Stay this way. That single sentence had changed everything. Jonathan Greaves didn't just want Candace Monroe. He wanted me. And Victoria knew it. She stopped in front of me, her lips curving into a slow, deliberate smile. I must admit, I didn't expect this outcome. She let out a soft, almost amused laugh. You were supposed to confirm what I already knew, maybe stroke his ego a little before I ripped his world apart. But instead, she gestured toward her phone. You became his obsession. I exhaled slowly, my pulse hammering in my throat. That's not my fault. Victoria's head tilted, studying me with eerie amusement. Isn't it? I forced my expression to remain neutral, but something about the way she said it sent an icy shiver down my spine. She set her wine glass down with an exaggerated sigh, then perched herself on the edge of the sleek white couch. So here's where we stand. My husband, a man who has cheated on me more times than I can count, has finally met a woman he actually wants. She glanced at me, her eyes sharp. And that woman isn't me. It isn't even the woman he thinks you are. A chilling smile tugged at her lips. It's you. The words settled between us, thick and suffocating. I didn't respond. I didn't know how to respond. Victoria leaned forward, resting her elbows on her knees. Now, you might think this is a problem for me. You might assume I'm furious, betrayed, ready to rip your surgically altered face off. She chuckled, shaking her head. But darling, I'm not angry. She let the words hang in the air. She was enjoying this. Savoring it. I could see it in her eyes, the way they gleamed with something unhinged, something dangerous. Finally, she sighed. No, I'm not mad at you. In fact, I find this whole situation quite entertaining. I narrowed my eyes. Then why am I here? She grinned. Because I have a new proposition for you. Silence. I stared at her, waiting. She picked up her wine again, swirling the crimson liquid before taking a delicate sip. Then she leaned back, draping an arm over the back of the couch, as she regarded me like I was an exotic creature she had just discovered. You're going to stay in his life, she said. I blinked. Excuse me. She smiled. You heard me. I felt my stomach tighten. I was hired to expose him, not become his fucking mistress. Oh, darling, she mused, her voice dripping with amusement. You're thinking so small. She stood, stepping toward me until she was close enough for me to smell the expensive perfume clinging to her skin. Jonathan is a powerful man. And powerful men? They only think they run the game. She reached out, gently brushing a strand of platinum hair from my face. But we are the game. I didn't move. Her touch was light, almost affectionate. But there was something behind her eyes, something dark, something calculated. You're going to let him love you, she murmured. You're going to let him need you. My breath felt stuck in my throat. And when the time is right, she leaned in, her lips grazing my ear. We're going to ruin him. A slow, cold dread settled into my bones. This wasn't just about revenge anymore. This was war. I swallowed hard, my mind racing. You're serious. She pulled back, smiling as she reached for her glass again. Very. My hands curled into fists at my sides. And what if I say no? Victoria laughed, the sound soft and cruel. Oh, darling. She stepped closer again, reaching into her robe pocket and pulling out something small. A flash drive. She held it up, letting the light catch its polished surface. What's that? I asked, my voice tight. Her grin widened. Insurance. She tossed it onto the table between us, and I forced myself to pick it up. My fingers trembled as I inserted it into my phone, opening the single video file it contained. The footage began playing immediately. I froze. It wasn't just the video of me with Jonathan in the hotel room. It was every moment, every conversation, every glance, every touch. Captured, documented, edited into a perfect little montage of my betrayal. To anyone watching, it wouldn't just look like I had seduced Jonathan. It would look like I had orchestrated everything. Like I was the predator. Like I had manipulated him, lured him in, destroyed his marriage. It was damning. It was dangerous. Victoria took another sip of wine, watching my expression shift from anger to horror. You're a smart girl. I don't need to explain what happens if this little file ends up in the wrong hands. My throat felt dry. She gave me a slow, satisfied smile. So, what's it going to be? My pulse pounded in my ears. I could still hear Jonathan's voice in my head. Stay this way. You're better this way. I could still feel his hands on my skin, his breath against my neck. And now? Now I had no choice but to play the game. Because Victoria had just made sure that the only way out was through. I exhaled shakily and looked up at her. Her smile widened, sensing my decision before I even spoke it aloud. Good girl, she murmured. And just like that, I was trapped. Chapter 5, The Threesome Proposal. There are moments in life when you realize you've lost control, when the ground beneath you vanishes and you're left suspended in the air, waiting for the inevitable crash. This was one of those moments. Victoria leaned back into her pristine white couch, her fingers tracing the rim of her wine glass, her eyes gleaming with amusement. She had won before the game even began. I was trapped, backed into a corner with no way out. The flash drive burned in my hand, a silent reminder that I no longer had a choice. I was in this now. I was in her game. "So," she said, exhaling slowly, "shall we celebrate?" I stared at her, my mind racing. "Celebrate?" Her smile was slow, lazy, dripping with satisfaction. "Of course. We have a plan now. A future. A common goal." She sipped her wine, eyes locked onto mine. "That's worth a toast, don't you think?" I swallowed hard, my pulse hammering against my ribs. "You're insane." Her laugh was light, almost musical. "Oh, darling. You're just now figuring that out." I wanted to scream. I wanted to grab that glass and shatter it against the floor. I wanted to burn this house down with her inside it. But I did none of those things. Because Victoria Greaves was dangerous. She wasn't just a woman scorned. She was a woman who enjoyed the scorn, who fed off of it, who breathed it in like oxygen. And now she was my puppeteer. I gritted my teeth. "What's next?" Victoria's grin widened. "Oh, darling. You're going to love this." She set her glass down, stood up, and walked toward me, her silk robe brushing against the marble floor. She reached out, trailing a manicured finger along my jawline, tilting my chin up just slightly. "You've already got Jonathan hooked," she whispered. "You've already won his heart. Now we take it further." I held my breath. She leaned in closer, her lips grazing my ear. "We give him what he wants." The room suddenly felt too small. "What are you talking about?" I whispered. She pulled back, smirking. "A woman like me? I know my husband. I know what he's been craving." She tilted her head, studying me like a scientist examining an experiment. "You think he's obsessed with you? You think he's in love?" She let out a soft chuckle, shaking her head. "Oh, darling. He doesn't love you. He loves the thrill of you." A sinking feeling settled in my gut. Victoria's voice was smooth, hypnotic. "You're the mystery. You're the new toy." "But new toys? They lose their shine eventually." She took another sip of wine, letting the moment stretch before she spoke again. "But do you know what men like Jonathan crave even more than mystery?" She set the glass down, her fingers trailing along the stem. My voice was barely a whisper. "What?" Her smile turned wicked. "Indulgence." The realization hit me like a slap to the face. She wasn't just trapping me in his life. She wanted me in hers. I took a step back, shaking my head. "No. No fucking way." Victoria sighed, exasperated. "Oh, stop being dramatic." "Dramatic?" I choked out. "You want a threesome with your husband? That's fucking insane." She gave me a look. "Is it?" I stared at her in horror. "You hate him?" She nodded. "I do." I let out a sharp laugh, utterly baffled. "Then why the hell would you want this?" She leaned in again, her breath warm against my cheek. "Because I want to own him." Her voice was a whisper, dark and full of promise. "And I want to watch him fall apart when he realizes it was all a lie." I swallowed hard, my mouth suddenly dry. She straightened, her gaze locked onto mine. "This isn't just about revenge, darling. This is about power. I want to break him in ways he never thought possible. I want to watch him drown in his own sins. I want him to suffer." I shook my head, my pulse pounding in my ears. Victoria tilted her head. "Think about it." I clenched my fists. I had no choice. The flash drive. The evidence. The trap. Victoria had me right where she wanted me. And now I had to become something I never thought I'd be. Not just a liar. Not just a manipulator. But an accomplice. 2 nights later, I walked into Jonathan Greaves' bedroom. The air was thick with anticipation, the kind that made my skin crawl. Victoria was already there, sprawled across the bed like a queen on her throne. She was dressed in black lace, her legs crossed, her expression unreadable. Jonathan stood at the foot of the bed, watching me with hunger in his eyes. "You came," he murmured, his voice husky. I swallowed hard, forcing myself to smile. "I did." Victoria sat up, tilting her head. "Are you nervous, darling?" I forced a laugh. "A little." She grinned. "Good." Jonathan stepped closer, his hands reaching for me. "Come here." I let him touch me. I let him think he was in control. And as his lips brushed against my neck, as Victoria watched with dark amusement, I realized something terrifying. This wasn't just about revenge anymore. This was about who would survive. because the real question wasn't whether we would destroy Jonathan. It was whether Victoria planned to destroy me next. Chapter 6, The Setup. There are moments when the lines between control and submission blur, so violently that you don't know which side of the game you're playing. That night was one of those moments. Jonathan's breath was hot against my skin, his hands rough, greedy, moving over me like I belonged to him. Victoria lounged on the bed, watching, waiting. She was a predator, patient and calculating, drinking in every moment with a slow, knowing smile. To Jonathan, this was his greatest fantasy, his wife, his mistress, all in one room, all for him. To Victoria, this was a game. To me, this was a fucking nightmare. And yet, I played my role. I let my lips curve into a smile, let my hands wander over his body, let my voice drop into that husky whisper he loved. I let him believe this was his night, his dream, his indulgence. But deep down, I knew the truth. The real power in this room didn't belong to him. It belonged to her. 48 hours earlier, Victoria had given me the instructions like she was planning a dinner party. Calm. Effortless. As if what she was suggesting wasn't complete insanity. "You'll meet him at the bar like usual," she had said, lounging on her pristine white couch, her fingers tracing lazy circles along the rim of her wine glass. "Let him think you're still his secret. Let him feel special. Let him think he's winning." I'd nodded, my throat tight. "And then," she continued, her eyes gleaming with something wicked, "you tell him." I shifted uncomfortably. "Tell him what?" Her lips curved into a smirk. "That I know. That I found out." A chill crawled up my spine. "And he won't panic?" "Oh, he will," she mused, sipping her wine. "But you? You'll tell him that I liked it." I stared at her. "You want me to tell him you liked that he cheated?" She chuckled, shaking her head. "Not the cheating, darling. The idea of it." I exhaled slowly. "You want me to convince him that you want this?" Her smile widened. "Exactly." My stomach twisted. "And then what?" She set her glass down, rising to her feet with the grace of a queen addressing her court. "Then you tell him that I want to watch." My mouth went dry. "You tell him," she purred, stepping closer, "that I want to be part of it." I couldn't breathe. "Victoria." Her fingers traced along my jaw, her voice low and hypnotic. "This is how we break him." I swallowed hard, my pulse hammering. "And what happens when it's over?" Victoria's eyes darkened. "Oh, darling," she murmured. "That's when the real fun begins. The night of the game." Jonathan had taken the bait easily. Too easily. His excitement had been immediate, his hunger unmistakable. I could see the wheels turning in his head, the sheer arrogance of it all. He thought he had won. He thought he had beaten the system, cheated on his wife, seduced his mistress, and still came out on top. That's what made men like him dangerous. They never saw the fall coming. He had texted me relentlessly leading up to the night. "Jonathan, are you sure? Jonathan, this isn't a trap? Jonathan, she really wants this? Jonathan, fuck, I can't stop thinking about it." I had played my role perfectly. "Me, she wants it. Me, she wants us. No secrets. No lies. No guilt. Me, just pleasure." It was disgusting how fast he had accepted it. No hesitation. No remorse. Only desire. I hated him. And yet, here I was, walking willingly into the lion's den. The bedroom. Victoria sat at the edge of the bed, her silk robe slipping off her shoulder. Her lips curved in amusement. She was enjoying this, every second of it. Jonathan was too consumed with me to notice the way she was watching. His hands gripped my hips, his mouth trailing down my neck, his body pressing against mine. He was lost in the moment, lost in his own sick fantasy. I forced myself to respond, to lean into him, to keep up the act. Victoria's voice broke the tension. "Take your time, darling," she murmured. Jonathan stiffened slightly at the sound of her voice, but he didn't stop. I swallowed hard, my mind racing. This wasn't real. This was the setup. A carefully orchestrated descent into his destruction. And yet, my body still screamed with unease. Because I didn't know how this ended. I didn't know what Victoria's final move was. Jonathan turned to face her. His pupils were blown wide, his breathing heavy. He was thrilled. "You really want this?" Victoria's smile was slow, deliberate. "More than you know." She reached for the phone beside her, lifting it casually, her fingers moving as if adjusting the angle. My stomach dropped. The camera. She was recording this. Jonathan didn't even notice. He was too drunk on the fantasy, too high on his own fucking ego to even consider what was happening. But I saw it. I saw everything. And suddenly I realized. This wasn't about catching him in the act. This was about something worse. Victoria was building her case. She was recording this night for leverage. For blackmail. For power. She wasn't just planning to destroy Jonathan. She was planning to own him. Forever. Jonathan leaned back against the bed, his fingers brushing over mine, completely unaware that his life was being rewritten in real time. Victoria sipped her wine, watching, waiting. She had already won. The only question left was I next? Chapter 7, The Plot Twist. There are nights that change you forever. Nights that split the world into before and after. Nights where the game you thought you were playing suddenly isn't a game at all. Tonight was one of those nights. Jonathan Greaves lay sprawled across the bed, his body slack, his breath deep and steady. He was completely lost in the pleasure-drenched afterglow of his fantasy fulfilled. His wife and his mistress together, no guilt, no consequences, no punishment. He thought he had won. But the real winner was sitting beside him, legs crossed, swirling the last of her wine in a crystal glass. Victoria. She wasn't just satisfied. She was thrilled. Her phone rested in her lap, the screen still lit, the recording still running. She had captured everything. The kisses. The whispers. The way Jonathan had moaned my name like a prayer, the way he had told his wife he loved this, the way he had confessed, between breathless gasps, that this was the life he wanted now. No more sneaking around. No more secrets. Just us. A perfect little game of indulgence, played under the assumption that he was in control. But he wasn't. Not even close. And as I sat there, still tangled in sheets that smelled of his sweat and sin, I realized something terrifying. I had never been in control. Victoria had orchestrated everything. She had predicted this exact moment. The way Jonathan would let his guard down, the way his arrogance would blind him, the way I would sit here now, staring at her, realizing I was in just as much danger as he was. Because now that she had him exactly where she wanted him, she didn't need me anymore. I felt it before I saw it. The shift in the air, the way her smile sharpened, the way her eyes turned cold. This wasn't just about Jonathan. This was about me too. And I had walked into the trap, thinking I was the one pulling the strings. 5 minutes later, Jonathan was still sleeping when Victoria stood, stretching like a cat. The silk of her robe slid against her skin, her movements slow, languid, dripping with satisfaction. She turned to me, tilting her head. I must say that was delightful. I didn't respond. I was too busy trying to figure out my next move. Victoria sighed, picking up her phone, tapping the screen. The video saved instantly, disappearing into whatever secure folder she had set up long before this night began. Blackmail. She had him forever now. And she had me too. She turned back to face me, her smile knowing. You understand what happens next, don't you? I force my expression to remain neutral. Do I? She chuckled, shaking her head. Oh, darling. Don't play dumb. You're smarter than that. She leaned in, her voice dropping to a whisper. You don't walk away from me. My stomach twisted. Victoria reached out, running a single manicured nail down my arm. You're too valuable to waste. I clenched my jaw. She sighed, taking my silence as submission. Jonathan is mine now. Ours technically. She smirked. But let's be honest, he'll always belong to me. I felt sick. She was right. Jonathan had no idea what was coming for him. No idea that every move he made from this night forward would be under Victoria's control. He had given himself to her without even realizing it. And I was still in the room. Still tangled in this mess. Still trapped. Victoria turned toward the nightstand, reaching for something. I stiffened, my body ready to fight, but when she turned back, all she held was a scalpel. My scalpel. The one I always carried. The one I used to become the woman I pretended to be. She ran her fingers over the blade, admiring it like a work of art. You know, she murmured. You really are remarkable. I stayed silent. She smiled. But the thing about remarkable creatures, she turned the scalpel in her hands, is that they don't belong in cages. I frowned. What the hell does that mean? She sighed almost wistfully. It means you have two options, darling. She held up the scalpel. One, you stay. You keep playing the game. You keep becoming whoever I need you to be. Her gaze darkened. Or two, you disappear. My blood ran cold. She was giving me a choice. But it wasn't really a choice at all. Because staying meant becoming her pet. And leaving? Leaving meant never being found again. I swallowed hard, my fingers twitching under the sheets. And if I choose neither? Victoria smiled. She tossed the scalpel onto the bed beside me, the blade gleaming under the soft bedroom lights. Then she stepped back, watching. Waiting. Jonathan stirred beside me, groggy but still asleep. Completely oblivious. Completely vulnerable. I looked down at the scalpel. The implication was clear. If I wanted my freedom, if I wanted out, there was only one way. My pulse pounded against my ribs. My fingers curled around the handle, the cool metal pressing into my palm. Victoria's voice was soft, almost affectionate. Time for a plot twist. My heart slammed against my ribs. I turned to Jonathan. His chest rose and fell, his breathing steady. He had no idea. No clue that his fate was being decided in real time. No clue that the woman he thought he had conquered was now the one holding the blade. I inhaled sharply. Victoria's smile widened. She thought she had already won. She thought I would do it. That I would break. That I would let her mold me into whatever she wanted. That I was hers. She was wrong. My grip tightened. And then, I lunged. Not at Jonathan. At her. Victoria's eyes widened just for a second, just long enough for her to realize she had underestimated me. The scalpel sliced through the air. A gasp. A stumble. A splatter of red against pristine white silk. She hit the floor, her hand clamping over the wound, her breath shuddering. I loomed over her, my chest heaving, the scalpel still dripping in my grip. Her lips trembled. You! I crouched down, pressing the blade to her throat. Smile, darling, I whispered. OnlyFans loves a good makeover story. Then I slashed. And just like that, the game was over.